Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, listen, good afternoon and welcome to the PRS Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are back on our Tuesday midday series, something we started back in January of 2019. God led us to talk about financial empowerment, not just for 1 month as a monthly series, not just for the quarter, but we're going to be talking about financial empowerment for 3, 4, 5, 6 months straight. And so God has led us to a whole bunch of individuals, a whole host of great individuals that we know that we've come in contact with that's going to help us unpack what are we talking about when we talk about financial empowerment. So today we have with us none other than Jonathan Bam Rivers. He is the CEO of Believe and Motivate LLC here in Columbus, Georgia, where we are broadcasting live. He is a motivational speaker. This brother is the truth. Jonathan, good afternoon, my brother. Welcome once again to the PRS Table. How's everything going?
Dr. Dunlap, as always, man, I'm blessed and always good to hear from you.
Amen.
Always good to hear from you and have an opportunity to speak to you about empowerment, whether it's financially, spiritually, or whatever. So I appreciate you having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We try to do our very best here at the PRF Table to make sure that we're giving people platforms. You know, we've been doing what we're doing for a long time, and platforms have not always been given to us, so we have to find ways to create our own. So when that's part of empowerment. When you create your own platform,
right,
then you help make the platform better for other folks. So tell us a little bit before we get into financial empowerment. Just give the people a little bit about who you are and what you do. I know I gave your title, but I didn't give your credentials. So I'll let you go ahead and puff your own self up for a moment.
Well, you know, I'm a Columbus guy. I graduated from Shaw High School and then went on to Auburn University and graduated with my bachelor's in marketing. Also got my MBA from the University of Phoenix. And as you noted, I'm a professional speaker, also a published author. The name of the book is Rivers Logic, Living Your Purpose Through Personal Development. You know, I'm formerly a college football television host and radio host as well. And like I told you before the show, those things are coming back to fruition.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. So really just in a mindset of helping people to understand their purpose and understand how to walk in their purpose and live the life that God has intended them to lead. So when you talk about empowerment, just making sure that people understand what they are equipped to do, rather than being enabled and understanding what they're equipped not to do. So that's really the biggest thing. I'm just speaking on purpose, speaking on personal development, speaking on creating a winning culture and sustaining a winning culture is just what I do, whether I'm coaching my athletes or speaking to someone on the street or speaking to an organization via one of my events. That's the type of message that I want to resonate with everybody. So I'm here and I'm ready.
All right. Well, one of the things that we've done with all the guests so far, we said, listen, we're talking about financial empowerment.
Right.
But we can't get to financial empowerment unless we got some type of foundation about what empowerment is.
Good.
So give us your perspective, your take on what does it mean for a person or an individual to be empowered?
Well, I feel like it means for them to, one, believe in themselves and believe that they are here for a reason and believe that they have an opportunity to change life. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of conversations that I have with people, whether I'm just driving around Columbus or speaking to someone, during a specific conversation, is that they may not realize that because of where they come from is irrelevant of what power they actually have inside of them. Mm. You know, we talk about this. I say this all the time. I say when you help people make adjustments, you empower them. But when you help them make excuses, you enable them. So what in life can we adjust to? We have to adjust every day. You know,
right.
Life is changing every day, so we must also change. We first have to change internally. So I think empowerment is basically showing somebody, yeah, you're the one.
Right.
You know, you may not be the one like that. Dunlap is the one because Dunlap is his one.
Right.
You know, Jonathan Rivers, I'm my one. You are your one. So nobody's gifts nor talents are more important than anyone else's, but nobody's any less significant either. Doesn't matter what you're doing, you are significant. So I think when you tell people that, it empowers them to think differently, first of all. And when they start to think differently, you know, they're acting differently follows.
I like that. One of the things I like that you said is the power inside of them. So one of the things that we're hoping to do, we're praying that that people actually get it is when it comes to the financial piece, there's people who grew up in certain type of demographics.
Right.
There's certain people that have had situations that have happened to them,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a loss of a job, whether it's loss of health care, which caused some other type of financial problems. We can go on and on and on. And I want you to kind of speak to that power inside of people, because it's the difference between the theoretical piece. You know, I just wrote a book called What's Next, Preparing for Eternity. And in
right.
that book, one of the things I talk about is here's some things that you're going to have to do when somebody passes away.
Mm-hmm.
Those things don't mean anything unless somebody actually does them.
Right.
So how do you speak to and empower somebody to say, listen, your finances are not straight.
Right.
You're not where you want to be. You like Dunlap, he's Dr. Dunlap, but he ain't planning for retirement like he should have. So either you put a whole bunch more money into it
right.
in a short period of time, or you got to make some other moves. So just give us something on that. Give the listeners something on how do we empower them from the inside out and helping them to see their true potential, even when their environment doesn't speak to that.
Well, it's about two things in life. You know, you're talking about literacy and you're talking about understanding.
Okay.
You're talking about gaining an opportunity to understand what it means to be financially literate. You know, and I've said this plenty of times. It amazes me that when we're in these schools, whether they're elementary schools, high schools, colleges, or what have you,
right.
you have people that are aiming to become different things in life, looking to become doctors or lawyers or teachers or professional athletes or musicians or ministers or what have you. And yet the one thing that regardless of what area you come to work in, everybody has to deal with finance.
Yeah.
Everybody has to deal with financial literacy and education, yet it's something that's being withheld. So having said that and knowing that, what are we doing to go get it for ourselves? Because I was always taught that it's good to make money, it's good to save money, but
right.
that's it. And
right.
see, earlier you were talking about, in theory it's great, but we're not applying what we're learning.
Right.
Because if you're teaching me how to do something, yet I'm like, man, I just talked to Dr. Dunlap, he taught me so much, man, I feel so fooled. But yet 6 months from now, I have not yet once implemented what you told me, then I've wasted that opportunity. So there has to be that opportunity to implement the theory and the knowledge that we're receiving. And financial empowerment is so important because, you know, like you and myself, you know, married with children, just trying to create a legacy, a financial legacy, change the generational mindset and wealth.
Right.
And I think when we realize that it's okay to be wealthy, not just financially, but spiritually, emotionally, physically. It's okay to be wealthy
right.
because with that wealth, you can pour into other people in a multitude of ways where you couldn't before.
Right.
But more importantly, when you gain wealth, the reason you've probably gained the wealth 99 or 95% of the time is because you have the knowledge. So let's pour out that knowledge to other people to help them realize that, listen, this information is available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to use it? And if not, why?
So I'm a jump on something.
I see you over
there. Because something that you said is going to come to let me just say it. So you talked about, okay, you talked to Dr. Dunlap, and man, I'm good. I feel empowered. I know what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it. But every Sunday, and y'all know I'm clergy.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But every Sunday, in most places or a large number of places, people are getting that same type of thing. I can conquer the world.
Right.
I can do all the things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. People get that. But then I have a critique. It's not just good enough to give people that on Sunday. If Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then on Saturday, they're dealing with whatever they're dealing with and they have no other outlets. That's one of the reasons why I know PRF is so important.
Right.
Because it gives people those outlets that they're not getting 8 out of 10 times in their local churches. But leaders have to stand up, especially in this community,
right.
to be able to say, listen, I'm going to empower them on Sunday morning. And then on Monday, you need to go sit at the PRF table.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we empower the leaders to understand that they're not giving up anything? They're actually putting something to the whole pot for everybody
right.
when they're trying to give their piece, because I don't want people to think about just being empowered for themselves and living within their own individual bubble.
Right, right.
So can you speak to that? Because that's what a lot of people do. They leave on Sunday. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the person about to get evicted that's sitting next to you, raising a holy hand.
Right, right.
And then they're trying to deal with their stuff in a bubble. But they
right.
have no way to deal with it.
Absolutely.
So how do we deal with that?
Well, I think it's about being intentional about creating shared relationships.
Okay.
You know, because there's segregation that go on a lot. Like you said, sometimes we go to church Sunday and then we're separated or segregated from those other members of the church if we don't work with them, or we don't go to school with them, we don't see them until Sunday, right?
Wow.
Or leaders of the community or whatever, you don't see them unless you're at some type of function or sponsored event that the city is holding. But when those relationships are built, even if it's once or twice a week, you are starting to build a foundation.
Right.
And then when you start to build that foundation, that's when the knowledge starts to be swapped and it starts to be transferred from one person to another. And that's when you start to realize, man, you're really putting me on something. Well, what do I do to get this? Because you know what the biggest thing is with shared relationships and giving people the empowerment? Sometimes we just want to be heard. Like we're
right.
going through situations and we want somebody to let us vent to them, which is not a problem. Let somebody speak their mind and tell you where they're struggling. So then in turn, as being someone who's a friend or being someone who's a mentor,
right.
you can help give them guidance, not just throwing something arbitrary and random at them because it's something that you have set for this day of the week or what have you. And I think that's the biggest thing, just shared relationships and understanding that now as the individual, we also have to take the onus to be proactive and reach out to someone. Because if I come to you, Nate, and I expect you to know everything I'm dealing with, but I don't put it on the table, how are you going to know that?
Exactly.
You understand? So I have to be willing to be proactive and put that stuff out there and say, listen, you know, I appreciate everything you do for me with PRF. I wanted to come and talk to you about this as well because, listen, you're running a business, you're running a ministry, you're traveling throughout the world helping people. You just told me about something you were doing in Mobile about a humanitarian award. So it's not just like you're here waiting on Jonathan Rivers. I have to go out and seek you if I want to seek the knowledge that you have. So
right.
then again, a relationship is always predicated on two or more parties doing the work to come together and become one mind, one body, one spirit. So I think that's one of the biggest things we can do to empower one another is consistently and earnestly build that shared relationship.
You know, it's amazing that you bring up proactiveness. I like these type of interviews, y'all, because I just blow off whoever the guest is.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you mentioned proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in my community, in our community, particularly more so my community than the Columbus, Georgia community, Lee County, Alabama is experiencing some very tough times.
Right.
And one of the things that I know personally is I know how I have been proactive in Lee County, Alabama,
mm-hmm.
in Russell County, Alabama, in Barber County, Alabama. And now we have this disaster.
Right.
It's tough to try to deal with individuals who didn't take the steps to be proactive
right.
when chaos hits,
right.
because now it's reactive.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that there's that dichotomy that is always, you know, some preachers like to say you're either in a storm, coming in the storm, or going out. So I don't like that focus personally, but there are situations that some people are going through a storm. There's other situations where some are just coming out. And we got to find creative ways to deal with when people don't be proactive.
Right.
And then a situation occurs, and then now it's about being reactive.
Right.
But we still got to teach them to be proactive because we don't know what's around the corner.
Right.
So, and I'll give you a perfect example. It's amazing that I just wrote this book or finished writing the book, What's Next. This book was started last year. When the tornado hit, I was on the second edit of the book. When the tornado hit. And it's interesting because there's a chapter in the book called Too Soon. Now, when you hear too soon, what do you think about? Because you're laughing.
I'm just thinking about it's not your time yet.
It's not the time,
it's
right?
It's not the time yet, yeah.
And I unpack it in the book. Like the too soon piece is right now too soon to be proactive in the midst of people trying to rebuild.
Right.
Or do we wait? Now, let me tell you something I found out as you get ready to answer that. When I was sitting there talking or when I was out there, whenever I was out there talking to the pastor of Providence Baptist Church, Rusty Soul, Providence is like the main hub where everybody's bringing all their stuff, but there's 10 other churches, which you don't hear about on the news,
right.
that are distribution centers. But I asked him about the building I was standing in.
Right.
The building I was standing in looks like it's a big-ass church. It's humongous. It's not a gym. It is bigger than a gym. It has an full industrial kitchen inside of it. It's across the street on the other side of the highway from the church.
Right.
On a lot of other land. a lot of parking, a lot of space. All types of food and all types of supplies on the outside of the church. All you got to do is drive up and get what you need. On the inside, that place is so big on the inside that, I'm telling you, it looked like a doggone, what's those things, a flea market.
Right.
Because there's that much stuff all over the place. Hundreds of volunteers all over the place. The Mariners' purse is there. Billy Graham's disaster relief chapters are there. And I asked him about the place I was standing in.
Right.
He said, Dr. Dunlap, he said, back in 95 when Hurricane Olga, I think it was, it came through that same area. Did some damage. They decided to build that after the last hurricane.
Right.
Of Hurricane Olga. I asked him how long it took them to build it. It took them 8 months. Now, if you go to that place, to that church, and you go to that west campus, that place, you will see how large that facility is. And they built it in 8 months. That's the perfect example, people, of being proactive.
Right.
And it wasn't too soon. It's either too soon or it's too late.
Yeah.
So take us there.
Well, you know what they say, insurance is something that you want to have because it's better to have it and not need it than not have it when you need it, right?
That's right.
And I'll be honest, I haven't always been a proactive person. And I think in everything I do in my life today, I'm not as proactive as I desire to be, but I am a proactive individual overall. And I'll say this, I became proactive because I understood what hindered me and what was not coming to me in my life because of me being reactive.
Right.
I had to learn to be proactive from being reactive. And I think just like when you said they built that big storage and had all their food after Hurricane Olga, you asked a question earlier, is it too soon to be proactive in the actual time that you're being reactive to this storm that just happened and to these people who have lost some loved ones? And the thing I would say is they're not mutually exclusive. You can be proactive in the midst of being reactive because when you're rebuilding something, a foundation, preferably we're building a better foundation for them.
Right.
So, you know, one thing that I would, you know, just counsel and what I feel in my heart is that when we are helping repair something physically or tangible or intangible, we need to be there for that individual, for those people, because they are in a time of suffering. Yet I don't feel it's fair to them if we leave out opportunities to build during that time. Okay, we can't leave out those opportunities because we know how that's hurt them and ourselves in that moment. Let's not try to have that moment recreated because the one thing we know about life is that the only thing certain about life is it's uncertainty.
Right.
We don't know what's coming. So let's try to prepare the best we know how. Now that we have this knowledge of what could happen, let's try to prepare for it while we're rebuilding what we've had to endure.
Not fair to leave out the opportunities to rebuild.
I don't think it's fair to either person or to either group.
Or to the families. In this case, 23 people who passed away. I was at the funeral of three people on Saturday. It's not fair to the families that's left behind
right.
to not take the opportunity, as you said, to. Now that takes a different type of individual, and you know I'm different, because it's ministry at its finest.
Absolutely. It is.
It's not church. It's ministry.
Right.
So when you start dealing with it as ministry, then you realize that there's some people that are churchy that probably ain't going to be too much on board. Was talking with a pastor, businessman sitting next to him at the funeral on Saturday, and he was talking about getting some an elected official, and he was talking about he said, listen, you got to get on the same sheet music as clergy, because everybody right now is trying to help. Everybody's trying to put in and give and show the kindness of their heart during this time, right? But we can't get away from financial empowerment because, and this goes to that too soon piece, at the same time while we as a community and communities are trying to rebuild, there's laws that's being made.
Right.
So nobody's saying, well, scratching my bald head, y'all. So in the midst of what the people are going through in Lee County, Alabama, in Talbot County, Alabama, some other communities, Washington is not going to say, has not said, well, you know what, it's too soon for the president to propose in his budget a $8-point-something billion request for funding for the wall.
Right.
Stay with me, y'all. Don't leave me, Republicans. At the same time, decreasing Department of Education's budget by $7.1 billion. Something wrong with that picture.
Right, absolutely.
But they're not saying, oh, no, we can't do that because we know we got students in Lee County, Alabama that may be affected by that. And so I want people to get out of this mindset that it's too soon. No, the time to deal with empowerment is right now.
Absolutely.
The time to deal with financial empowerment is right now.
Well, let's be honest. What's most of the reason, what's probably the biggest reason that we sometimes feel it's too soon? It's because we feel as if the reaction that we'll get will not be conducive to how we feel. Because if we were truly thinking about them, we know if we truly know that we have resources available, whatever the resources may be, to help somebody, and we really want to help them, why would we withhold that from them? But a lot of times we feel like, well, they're not going to receive this because it's too soon or what have you. I remember being in the same situation when I used to work for a college, and I used to help enroll people in school. And I'd call people and ask them, hey, you put in some information about going to college. When do you think it'd be a good time for you to start? And they'd say, well, I feel like this just happened. I just lost my job, or this person just passed away, and I'm trying to regather things and get things together. I'm looking for the perfect time. And honestly, I would tell them, I'm definitely sorry for your loss and these things, but there is never or no such thing as a perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a perfect time. So in life, if we allow circumstances to continue to keep us, we're never going to get it because circumstances will continue to happen.
Right.
Do you understand? So I think a lot of times we look at, hey, I don't want them to get mad at me, or I don't want them to make me feel bad. So when we're still focusing on us, even when we have the heart, even when we have the greatest intentions, are we truly focusing on that individual? Because in that, we're not worried about how they respond to us because we know what we're providing to them is going to be of some service or help them. And even if they don't get it right then,
right,
we can't be unwilling to plant the seed. That's what it's about. So plant the seed, and if it takes root a year from now, so be it. But don't not plant the seed because you're afraid of the repercussions that you're not even certain will come.
Right. And to add to that, there's some situations that somebody's going to have to make their own decision.
Absolutely.
Whether they're going to take the bull by the horns and run with it. But then there's other situations, or however, there's also other situations where I can't wait for you to get it because your mind ain't in the right spot right now. Right? You're not thinking about certain things.
Right.
Or things are a little bit too tough. And so from a ministerial perspective, it's, you know what, let me handle that. That's how I look at when Jesus said, love you one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's too difficult for you to be trying to deal with what I know you need to be dealing with or what I know is going to happen in 3 or 4 weeks. Deal with your family right now, sis. Deal with your family right now, bro. Let me take care of that. I'll give you a perfect example. Early in my days of being a Christian, and this is part of what drove me to what God has now promoted to PRF.
Absolutely.
There was a situation where there was an older sister in the church, and his older sister had to keep coming and getting benevolence from the church for to pay a light bill.
Right.
Had money coming in every month. But there were some people that was like, well, why are we giving sister such and such money every other month? And there were some people like me, like, is that why people put money in benevolence? You know, I'm a young Christian, so I'm thinking
this was that
kind of seems so simple to me. I dealt with this. We watched this happen for a couple of conferences, you know, our church conferences sometimes.
Okay.
And so I, with my rebellious, that's what I was labeled as, my rebellious self, the question one time, I said, has anybody ever thought about asking why she has to come and get the benevolence?
Right.
Versus tripping because we've given money that people have given for this purpose. Nobody had any answers. I'm asking too many questions. After that conference, an individual comes up to me who is a deacon of the church. As of now, he is. He said, Nate, let me tell you what's going on. He said, Sister such and such son is on drugs. He gets a check and takes care of stuff that she needs to be taken care of, but he takes money out of it, which causes it to be short.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, Well, all y'all men from that neighborhood, it's a community neighborhood. This ain't like, you know, just out in the middle of somewhere else and everybody's coming from all over. This is a community.
Right.
Y'all know this cat. Y'all grew up with him. Y'all ain't thought about approaching him like, look, man, you can't be doing this to your mom. You know, that's her. That. And so I bring that up because it raised up something in me that you got to be ministerial. I get it. But you also got to be fighting for justice because it's not fair for the church to be taking out money for a situation that we know is caused because
right.
He's doing something with, and you know why.
Right.
So when I put it like this, I'm being a smart so such and such, right? I said, well, we might as well just go ahead and give him the money for the crack.
That's what
because in essence, that's really what's happening. We're supporting that habit.
Yeah.
But because it's difficult, because it's not something that the church had done before, I said, well, here's my solution. Why don't we have her send her check to the church? And why don't the church take care of paying all the bills? And then we give her the rest. That way we know the light won't get cut off.
Yep.
We know the water won't get cut off. There's no mortgage on the house. We know she has money for food. And if she gives that money to her son, then she can sit there in the light.
Right.
She can sit there with water.
Right.
And she can sit there hungry.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have to have this mindset when we talk about financial empowerment that we got to deal with this. We can't keep letting folks be out here struggling. I live in Alabama. $15,000 is the median income from a one-person household.
Wow.
How much empowerment do you expect people who make $15,000 to have?
Right.
So that means there's some other components that need to come into this thing because they don't have the buying power at $15,000 a year unless they get to use that $15,000 for whatever they want to. They got a car note. They got a house note. It's all supposed income. Maybe you can make some moves. But when people got stuff they got to take care of, bills and all that, So I bring up that to say the times are tough. We know that there's situations that have to be dealt with.
Right.
It's not everybody's responsibility to deal with everything, but get behind the individuals that are willing to take a stand.
Right.
Get behind the individuals that's willing to say, nah, we need to go have a conversation with homeboy.
Right.
We don't need to put our hands on them, wink, wink, but what we need to do is jack them up.
Right.
You know, we need to say, look, man, this ain't what you do. This is what we do as men because other folks are watching what we do. So we got like 2 minutes. I'm going to let you close us out. Give us some contact information. Give us some final thoughts on financial empowerment and how we can actually just take this to the next level because we got some stuff to do.
Well, the one thing that you said that I actually disagree with is you said that it's not our responsibility to help everybody. And I was like, well, I know what you mean, but you know it is. And what I mean by that is if you come in contact with somebody who needs something, it's our responsibility to help satisfy their need, even if satisfying their need is simply by saying, hey, you need to call this person or let's check with this person. Because it's a trend. Mm-hmm. So that's what I believe in. But you can contact Jonathan Rivers at jonathanbamrivers.com, any social media avenue. It's at jbamrivers. Brother Dunlap, I appreciate you as always. So,
yes, sir. All right, so listen, his contact information, or at least the website, is on our website, PRF Institute. That's the new website, prfinstitute.org. It's also on the Facebook page, PRF Institute on Facebook. So please go check out Brother Rivers. I can tell you that he is serious about what he's doing. I can tell you that he's been grinding for a while. I met him at his early stages.
Yes,
when you look at his website and you look at the places that he's speaking in front of and graduations and college graduations, keynote speaker for this and that. God has positioned him to do some great things. So we wish you more continued success for you and your family and continue doing what you're doing. And realize this, my brother. Jesus said, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth.
Yes, sir.
That means at some point in time, you're going to get out of Columbus, which is Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
Then you'll be dealing with Judea. And I'm going to tell you, like they told me, when I was giving everything away for free, they said, listen, the folks that don't want it for free, pretty soon they're going to have to pay for it.
Right.
So with that, that's how we deal with financial empowerment, y'all. This is Dr. Nate Dunlap for the PRF table on behalf of all of us here and at the PRF Institute. God bless y'all. We love y'all. Y'all have a great day. Peace.